If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
A lot of times just looking for that lower premium means that you're taking on liability that you did not realize you're taking on. For example, assault and battery is the most common.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Brian Schimmel helps companies achieve their risk management objectives by delivering customized solutions that mitigate their risk. His organization provides a consultative approach to risk management, which reduces the total cost of risk through the proper placement of their resources, products, and services. Hey, I just want to let you know that today's episode is about twice the length of a normal episode. We've been having a few of these here lately. Yeah, this was a good episode. We talked about insurance today. I know I've had a recent guest on as well where we also discussed insurance, but I think this is one that, especially in light of today's environment, that we just can't talk about enough. And it's one of those topics that I think has commonly been ignored or just thought that status quo would remain, but that is simply not the case. So stay tuned in. This is about 32 or so minutes long, but I think it is well worth your listen. If you are scaling your real estate holdings, you will find some actionable information in this that I think will really help you save both time and money. Brian, welcome to the show.
Thank you. How are you doing today?
It's great. I'm doing great, man. It's always good. Always good. I know you're in the state of Tennessee today, so we'll claim you as a Tennessean here today. So that's great. Always good to have fellow Tennesseans on the show. You have an interesting perspective to commercial real estate in that you are involved in the insurance side of things. And no one really, and I think I've interviewed one other person maybe in the insurance space on the show, but we don't typically get excited about when it comes to insurance. We really don't. I don't mean that as a jab at your industry, but more or less just like it's an afterthought. And I think that's a mistake.
That's so weird. That's not the most interesting part of a deal for you.
We just want it to be low, the price to be low, and in the coverage to be sufficient. But, and again, I don't want to dig into that so much, but really I'd love to hear your perspective on where the industry was, where it has come maybe even in the last 12 to 18 months, and then of course, where you see it going.
Yeah, I mean, I think you actually bring up something pretty good to kind of entree into this. I mean, insurance has never been the most interesting part of any deal. And, you know, quite frankly, up to about a year and a half ago, you know, we were in what we call a soft market. And typically speaking, you know, if you were buying a deal, you could get the insurance, that you needed, and you could get it at a price that didn't in any way really impact the deal, you know, and we had been in that market for years. And then, you know, if you owned a portfolio, you were seeing a lot of your renewals either, you know, go down a lot of years or which, you know, never makes anybody unhappy. And then we went through a period where they were kind of flat and that wasn't the end of the world. And then all of a sudden, about a year and a half ago, we started kind of entering a different world, which is where we find ourselves today, you know. And, you know, I've talked many times to people about kind of what's occurred, you know, over the last year and a half. And I mean, you can't not take into account everything that's going on in our world right now, the turmoil with COVID, the turmoil and the, you know, the financial markets, not knowing exactly where those are going to head. Or, you know, if you're talking about multifamily, the habitational space, what's going to happen with a lot of the, you know, potential, you know, inability to evict tenants and all that sort of stuff is, you know, has impacted the market. But truthfully, the market was heading south, becoming a hard market, prices going up long before any of this stuff occurred. So these were just additional factors. You know, the question I get is why, you know, we pay these insurance carriers so much money, how, you know, why is it going up? And, you know, and I feel for my clients and I understand their perspective on that. But the reality is that, you know, if you look at your main coverages for, you know, any real estate assets, you insure the asset itself, you know, with the property insurance, and between the hail claims and the weather claims and the wind claims and everything else that just seem to keep coming across the country, you know, different geographic areas have been hit with different, you know, types of weather-related claims. The weather-related claims have really impacted the property insurance industry, and they were been losing money for a while. They were even losing money some there when we were in a soft market. I think they just felt like maybe conditions would improve, but they really haven't. And so, you know, you're seeing, you know, a lot of property related claims. On the liability side, you know, there's a major talk right now in the industry about social inflation. And, you know, and really what they're saying by that is just kind of how everybody's perspective has turned a little bit in our society, and that, you know, if there is some sort of event, you know, general liability covers things like slip and falls, you know, third party claims that might have occurred, you know, at a property, that, you know, ultimately there are attorneys that are looking to the owner of the property, you know, to make them whole for almost anything that occurs and somebody gets hurt, you know, on a property. And so you're really seeing, you know, the general liability settlements have just gotten so large that, you know, the general liability markets have, you know, followed the property markets, and they've increased their rates substantially. And then they've also tried to impose certain, you know, exclusions within a policy that, this is the part that actually troubles me the most. And that is that so many times, a lot of times I see insureds don't realize the coverage that they have in place. And look, you know, I've been on the real estate side before I was in the insurance business. I fully understand nobody sits here and reads their policies. I also understand a lot of people are just looking for the lowest premium. But in this market, that's the worst thing you could do, because a lot of times just looking for that lower premium means that you're taking on liability that you did not realize you're taking on. For example, assault and battery is the most common. You know, these GL carriers are crime score in these properties. If they score a certain place, they either try to exclude assault and battery, or they try to sublimit it to such a point that it's really not much help. And those can be multi-million dollar claims. And then on a much shorter note, but, you know, it's always your excess liability that you always also have to have in place on any of these properties. And that's, to a certain degree, was an afterthought for a lot of years. You just put your property, your GL in place. You went and got an excess quote relatively quickly, and it wasn't tremendously expensive. Well, because those verdicts have gotten so large, now they're starting to get into the excess layers where they didn't. You know, your general liability policy is usually $1 million per occurrence, and then $2 million for all the claims that happen in the year. And as soon as you tap that $1 million on a claim, then it's covered by the excess layer. And, you know, if you really look, there were very few claims that really ever got into that excess layer. And now it's, I'm not going to say it's common, but, well, I would say it's common, you know, but it's not everyone, but it is very common for these claims to get into the excess layer. So the excess carriers have responded by tremendously raising their rates. I mean, they've gone up from a percentage standpoint much, much higher than, you know, anyone, you know, any of the other coverages.
That is a very, very unique synopsis, I think, of what has happened. I would love to hear from this point moving forward, what's your advice to people? Let's use, maybe talk broadly, or maybe even pick a specific example, your call, but what's your advice to people when they look at their insurance? How do they plan? How do we as investors strategize?
Well, I think two things. You have to look at it from, you know, is it a new acquisition? That could take me down, you know, one thought process. And the other one is, I've got an existing portfolio of properties that I just, you know, I'm not buying anything. I just plan to renew them, what I need to do. And so, I mean, I could tackle either one you want or both. So you kind of let me know, but I do think it's several different thought processes on each.
That's interesting you say that. I wouldn't have thought that. So yeah, let's hear both strategies.
Okay. Let's talk acquisition front first. On the acquisition front, carriers are underwriting at a level that they've never underwritten before. And so they're going to want to see your losses, and they've always wanted to see them, and you've always had to present them. But I'm just here to tell you right now, those losses have to be recently generated. They have to be complete. They have to be very detailed. They're going to want to see the losses right out of the gate. So sometimes sellers are a little, you know, slow to release those. I'd say get those first and foremost, because that's driving almost everything. Second of all, you know, a lot of times some of these deals that look great on paper, you need to possibly take a step away from and really kind of almost become an insurance underwriter and look at them. If they're in a sketchy area or something like that, I can assure you that you know, the insurance underwriters are going to be looking at that and they're going to be factoring it in. You know, big data has taken over. I mean, I had one this week where, you know, the losses were clean that were provided to us, you know, and we thought we were all great with everything. And then lo and behold, the underwriter goes out there and finds out there's been four shootings at the property over the course of the last 4 years that have all hit the press. You know, and they're doing those sorts of things. I just don't think they did them as extensively a year ago, even, but they are now, most definitely. And so, you know, the losses, big deal. Get those early. Building updates, it's on the exact same level as losses. If your property has old roofs, you know, you could potentially have problems there. The problems being the carriers might only be willing to cover them, the roofs, for example, by factoring in depreciation. And then you have a lot of lenders, especially on the multifamily side, when you have Fannie and Freddie, they just flat out will not allow it. But you have a lot of lenders who will say, no, we won't allow any coverage that has a depreciation factor built in to a claim. And so the carrier's perspective is, hey, we don't want to insure a place that has old roofs. Old roofs blow off, old roofs leak. And, you know, yeah, we'll provide you insurance coverage against the fire and all the other typical claims. But when it comes to replacing your roof, we only we want to factor in depreciation should there be a roof claim, as opposed to just putting you a brand new roof on with no depreciation. That can cause you lending problems. And I see people a lot of times in deals, they got them under contract, their money's going hard on it. They just happen to think there's got to be a solution out there for it. And a lot of times there's not. I mean, the solution is that you pay multiples of what you should be paying in insurance, if you can even get it then sometimes, just because of the roof age. So I'd pay a lot of attention to roofs. I'd pay a lot of attention to wiring, aluminum wiring, huge, huge deal right now. Don't just take the seller's word for it that it's been remediated. This is an interesting one, because unlike roofs, through the whole process between the lenders and between the carriers and everything, roof age is kind of eventually surface. Okay. Wiring is one of those things that seems to surface post-close. So you tell me as an agent, oh, it's copper wiring. I tell the carriers copper wiring. They say, great, here's your copper wiring rate. Then they come out and inspect and they find aluminum wiring. Now you, as the new owner, have a property with aluminum wiring and you have a carrier saying, I'm not going to cover aluminum wiring. So you have no option other than to update. Now, whether or not you can go back to the seller that told you copper, that's a deal by deal basis. You know, every scenario is different, but those are typically not discovered until after you've bound the policy. It's in place. You own the property. And so, if I was out buying a property today, the first two things I would ask, ironically, are, you know, what's the roof age? What is the wiring? Oh, it's copper. Okay. When was it remediated? How was it remediated? Do you have proof that it was remediated? I would get definitive information on that. And then, quite frankly, I'd probably hire my own electrical contractor to go out there and take a look at it. So losses, roofs, and wiring. I mean, I would have said the same thing 3 years ago, but I wouldn't have quite said them with the same emphasis that I'm saying today. On the acquisition side, I see a lot of buyers comparing, you know, what the seller was paying compared to what they're paying today. They're seeing a huge delta in that. The reason they're seeing that delta is just the way the insurance industry works. If you insured a property 3 or 4 years ago and you went 3 or 4 years without a loss or nothing significant, you're probably just going to get your renewal each year, and you might see some incremental increases, you know, each year, but you're starting from a much lower rate. And so when it's new, when it's changing ownership, there's no talking the carrier into continuing things over. You have a new policy, and that new policy is underwritten, you know, like it's new to them, and it's at today's rate, which can be significantly higher than what that rate was, you know, 3 years ago. The other factor is the values. Again, if you went back 3 or 4 years ago, you could have been insured, like, let's use multifamily, for example, you could have been insured at $60 or $65 a square foot. Fannie, Freddie, most carriers are seeking anywhere from $90 to $100 a foot. So your insurance premium is the rate times the value. So if the value goes up by 30 or 40%, you know, that's a 30, 40% increase just on values. But if the rate and value each go up by 30 or 40%, I wish I was better at math to say exactly what that is, but you get it. It can be a significant increase. And so when you're sitting there comparing like, oh, you know, he only paid however much, you know, on this thing over the past couple of years. I understand how that analysis has been used in the past. It's just not applicable in today's environment in any way.
That's a lot to think about.
Yeah, I hope I'm not throwing too much out there or getting too far in the weeds, but there's a lot going on right now.
No, I think this is great. You're giving us exactly what we want to hear, which is what do we do and how do we plan for this? I want to rewind the tape a little bit here. You had made a comment here that I hadn't thought about, and it was something about assault and battery. Walk us through, I kind of want to rewind the tape here and walk us through what assault and battery or how does that affect, how does the fact that two people aren't getting along affect us as the property owner?
Sure. In all cases, okay, that I've seen, and I hate to say I saw this the other day, but on Friday, I'm going to be on a call regarding assault and battery that occurred a month and a half ago. And when it happened, you know, I advised my clients, I said, this will be a lawsuit. And they said, I hope not. And I said, I promise you there will be. And they said, why are you saying that? Which is going to come, we'll kind of touch on assault and battery now. When there is a fight or there is gunplay, knife play, anything occurs between two tenants, between a property manager and a tenant, between even people trespassing on the property that occurs on your property, you know, and somebody's injured. I mean, key thing there, somebody being injured. I will say that most of the time, you, especially if it's significant, and it's significant all the time, you're going to ultimately see a lawsuit as the owner of that property. And if you don't have assault and battery coverage, if it's excluded in your policy, specifically excluded in your policy, then the second that claim gets sent to the carrier and it says John Jane Doe was shot on your property, beat up on your property, the carrier immediately looks for assault and battery coverage. And if it's excluded, then you get a denial of claim on that. And that means that you are going to have to go at your defense and ultimate verdict on this completely on your own. My largest claim right now is an assault and battery. And let's just say it's in the millions, multi millions. It's very large. And ironically, you know, you're going to see, I mean, it's funny, if you have a property manager, this is what's a very interesting aspect of it to me. If you have a property manager that's managing the property, the way most property management agreements read is that the owner's policies are primary, they're going to pay first. And the property managers always have pretty much the same coverage in the background. It's almost like a contingent, you know, GL. It's almost like a backup GL. You know, they require you as the owner to have it. You as the owner require them to have it. But per the contract, the owner pays first, right? In every one of these lawsuits, they name the owner and the property manager. So do you know how many property managers are out there right now that their owners are sitting there with an assault and battery exclusion, either because they couldn't get assault and battery coverage or because it was so expensive that they just opted out and figured, well, assault and battery, what is it? They don't really understand what it is. Okay. It's anything. If the police are called, if it hits the paper, you know, and almost guaranteed the lawsuit's coming.
Right. And I know we live in an environment where, you know, I don't know how to say this besides that people are always looking to make a buck off somebody else. And so I guess how do these typically resolve other than going to, I mean, what are you seeing that these policies are ending up being paid out quite a bit?
Oh yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Because a lot of it depends upon, you know, where the suit is filed, but you know, if it's, you know, in most urban settings, you typically find, you know, courts that are a little more plaintiff friendly. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, a lot depends upon where it's filed. There's no doubt about that. But yeah, I mean, they ultimately do, because, you know, from the carrier standpoint, they look at it and they see the size of some of these verdicts. And then, you know, a lot of times, again, remember what I said earlier about, you know, where is this property located? You know, I mean, if it's in a little bit of a sketchy area or something like that, the crime score is really low. I mean, I've seen situations where, you know, in these assault and batteries that, you know, they have, you know, saw even higher verdicts because of like known conditions in the place. Like you this kind of stuff's occurred all around you. And so it's a scary environment right now. This is the social inflation that I brought up. Mm-hmm. This is the social inflation. The other thing you're seeing with social inflation is crowdfunding of lawsuits. You know, somebody got hurt on a property, you know, and somebody goes on social media and talks about it. I mean, it might be very legit. I'm not making out like these are frivolous claims or anything like that, but it's just the factual nature right now of our world is that, you know, a lot of times you will see people go be funded by strangers, by whoever who've just gone out to fund these, or worse yet, it gets, you know, it gets played around social media. What happened, you know, and it's sometimes tough as an owner to really combat that, you know, in any way before it's already out, you know, out there. And so, you know, there's just a lot of factors like that that are going on that are taking the liability markets and the property markets and really, you know, making it very difficult. I mean, I will never sit here and defend carriers. You know, I understand their place and understand what they really, you know, do for our industry, you know, but, you know, I can also understand an owner's frustration sometimes with the premiums and everything else. But the fact of the matter is they're paying these monies out. They don't want to, but they are. And so they're compiling all of that data and all those payouts get factored in to the base rate that's being charged. Like, how much are we probably going to pay out on this risk over the course of time? And that's where the premium starts. And then it just goes up from there.
Right. That's interesting. Let's quickly touch, if we can. I know we talked about it from the acquisition side. The other part of this, other side of this coin we were going to talk about was for the existing owner that may have a series or a bunch of real estate. And how would you approach them?
Yeah, I mean, every scenario is a little bit different. You know, you have small, medium, and large size, you know, portfolios, but really kind of the same principles, you know, apply to each. You know, if you have a property that's paid out, there's been losses on it, claims have been paid out, whether those are property claims, liability claims, whatever they might be. If there's been some claims paid out on those, then there's going to be significant increases that are incurred upon renewal. You know, the only difference is with a larger portfolio, you know, they look at the portfolio as a whole. A lot of times, not always, sometimes they can look at when they see multiple claims out of one property, even on very large portfolios, they might say, hey, we don't want this one property, but we'll insure, you know, all of the rest. But it really just gets into a loss ratio. How much was paid out in losses versus how much premium has been brought in? And so, you know, if you have a number of properties wrapped under a policy, or even if they're each insured individually, if there's been losses paid out on it, there will be increases on it. There potentially could be non-renewals, which what that does is kind of throws you out to the market. And now you've got to go out to the market and, you know, and find coverage. And again, you're doing it under not historic rates like you might have been wrapped under. You're doing it under new rates now and with new carriers. And so with renewals, you know, you pay a lot of attention to your losses. Get started early in the renewal process. Work with somebody that really knows how to navigate this environment. I mean, that's, I think, most critical, because there's a lot of people doing business with their golfing buddy who might be a great guy, but you need some leverage in this market. You need some knowledge. That's a big one. But to the asset itself, you know, you really need to maintain your update information, your electrical, kind of the same things I was talking about earlier. When did you update the wiring? When did you update the roof? Don't have a lot of deferred maintenance around your property. You know, keep these properties up. If you have trip hazards, you know, get rid of those, because there are professional litigants out there that are looking for a sidewalk that's raised by a half an inch or an inch that they could trip and fall on. You know, I mean, there's don't set yourself up as a target. This is the time to kind of button down the hatches, in my opinion. Make sure your properties are in order. Maintain your information on properties. Work with your carriers, you know, and don't take the approach of, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, there's got to be a solution out there. I mean, you might be get lucky and navigate it, but I would say, you know, on average, you're not going to be able to pull a rabbit out of your hat in this environment. It's a time to really, you know, maintain your properties well, pay attention to your tenant demographics, make sure that you're, you know, that you're really doing, a very good job, in terms of managing the property.
Right. And those are all very actionable things that we can do. And I really appreciate you taking the time to spell those out so clearly. The one point I want to make here is that ultimately what happens when we have all of these rate increases and everything, and especially if it's happening nationwide, where do those rate increases go?
Right now, I mean, I don't want to be such a downer because you podcast here and it feels like I'm being very negative right now about everything.
No, you're giving us good stuff. I like this.
Yeah. I can tell you that if I were to send to you what the industry write-ups right now, it would say continual hard market, meaning rates are continuing to go up. The insurance industry is a bit like a slow-moving stock market is kind of how I say, it takes a direction where, we're kind of like a big ship. I mean, it starts in a direction and it continues that direction. And if you want to turn it around and head another way, it can do that and it will do that, but it takes a little bit of a longer time. And right now it's on a forward direction with rates going up and coverages being carved out a little bit. It's not a buyer's market right now for insurance. Now, I have seen, there has been some talk that there's some capacity, what we call as agents capacity coming to the market. That's just people that want to invest in the insurance market and bring, monies to it, which can be turned around into, offering coverage on properties. There is some talk of some capacity that's coming to the market. Now that will be a factor that could mitigate rate increases. And off of the many renewals and everything that I go through every week, I do get the sense that maybe it's not heading forward quite as fast as it was. Maybe we're starting to reach a point of stability, but I think that's going to be an all of 2021 thing. And it could very well keep going, but it's a tough market right now. I mean, the carriers are just being very picky with what they write.
Right.
If it's loss free, if it's well updated, if it's a good property, okay, it probably won't be so bad, which goes to my comment a minute ago about what to do in this market. They look at those favorably as good properties. They need to bring those in because they typically don't have as many losses.
Sure.
But if it is an older property that's not maintained, that's had losses, that's a little tougher of a situation.
Right. That's interesting. Let's jump here into the final four, Brian, if we can. If you were giving one piece of advice to someone seeking insurance, say we're buying a new building or, we've got a new acquisition coming on, what would that one piece of advice be?
Yeah, it's funny. I'm going to sound like a parrot here because it's going to kind of repeat.
It's all right. It's good.
I would want to know everything about that building. And again, it's the losses, it's the wiring, it's the roof age, it's all of that stuff, because those are always the factors that end up skewing a deal. And, you haven't paid more for insurance than you think that you should on it, or the insurance cost being so high that it kills the deal. I would definitely crime score the property. I mean, anybody can get online and there's a lot of crime score services and just see, what's going on. I mean, all those do is they basically just compile police reports in the area and they give you an idea of from a ratio standpoint, how much crime's occurring in the area. Take a look at that, because that's what the underwriters are looking at. And so, I mean, and every underwriter that I deal with, I'd crime score the properties and see what I'm dealing with here. And hey, I understand that there's opportunities in those markets too, but I'm not saying that those aren't properties to buy, but I think you have to be realistic from an insurance side of what you might be dealing with. And then you got to have the right coverage in place. Again, that gets to the salt and battery. You don't want to go acquire a property in a bad neighborhood and not have a salt and battery coverage.
Right. My goodness. Yeah, there's a lot of things to think about. And I think having someone like yourself in our corner that can really point us in the right direction, even as broad of a stroke or as much as you've told us today, even so, at the end of this, I'm a little bit going, my gosh, the next time I get into something big, I'm just going to call Brian and say, Brian, what do we do? Because
please do.
Yeah, it's just something I don't think we've talked enough about, and I think it's rearing its ugly head in the industry, and people are feeling the pain of it. So that's really interesting. What is one thing that you are currently doing to stay on top of your game?
I am paying more attention. It's probably why I've probably gone way over on time this. I'm paying more attention than I ever have as to what's going on in the market, and I'm having to do far more than I ever have just in terms of managing renewals. And what I mean by that is a lot of times most of the work has been historically on the front end, getting these properties written, getting them insured, and absolutely want to negotiate the renewals as hard as you can. But most of the time, the incumbent carriers wanted to stay on it and they work with you, and it wasn't nearly as much work. And now it's like every renewal is like a brand new deal.
Wow.
You know, you're having to look at a bunch of different carriers, a bunch of different options, deal with new terms that might be imposed, you know. And so, you know, that's how I'm really trying to stay on top of my game, is to protect my existing clients as best I can. I mean, people have had faith in me to ever take a leap of faith and to do business with me. And you know, everybody's good when, you know, in good times, right? When everybody's making money, it's you figure out who's really good in times like these, you know. And, you know, I wish I could tell you I'm always delivering great news, but, you know, there's been a lot of hard conversations over the course of the last year. But, you know, if you really, you know, I've stayed on top by really buckling down and just going to extremes with all of my clients to make sure that they're getting all the effort they should for their renewal.
Right. No, that's great. That's great. When it comes to giving back, what's one thing you're doing to make the world a better place?
Well, I think like anybody, I could definitely be doing more. I mean, there's always feel that way and everything. But, you know, I mean, involved with my church, I mean, it is pretty much the biggest thing. I have three young kids and that takes up a lot of my time. But when I do have some time, they all play sports. And so, but when I do have some time, try to give back, you know, through my church, which we're pretty active with. It's been a great thing for our family.
That's great. Brian, if our listeners want to get in touch with you, how do we do that?
Yeah, I'm going to give both my phone here and my email address.
Mm-hmm.
My phone, I can be reached at 321-303-2840. And if you'd like to reach me via email, it's B Schimmel. I'll spell it here in a second, but it's bschimmel@tbmins.com. So it's B as in boy, B-S-H-I-M-E-A-L-L@T as in Tom, B as in boy, M as in Mary, and I-N-S as in the three letters as in insurance.com.
Perfect. Brian, thanks so much for your time today. This was unbelievably informative. I certainly appreciate you coming on.
No, I enjoyed it. Thanks so much for the opportunity to talk to everyone.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen. If you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.